This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Sandy Kearney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 68, Hipster CEO.
Hello, and welcome again to yet another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin coming to you from the dark and stormy night. A shot rang out. No, it is dark here in Budapest because it is after 4 and the sun is down, but it is up where you are, Michael, and we've got a show.
You assume the sun is up. I guess it might be up, but it's cloudy.
It's behind the clouds,
it's hidden. It's up. I can't see it. The sky is falling. Michael Rowe here in beautiful Durham, North Carolina, where it is unseasonably warm, and we're supposed to freeze our tuchus off starting tomorrow.
Okay.
So we have a great show, exciting show lined up for you, thanks to one of our listeners, Kirk, who provided us with a link about another, just kind of following up to our story last week on Bitcoin, right? A traveler's box to allow people to turn in Bitcoins at the airport.
Yeah, so that's actually the name of the product. It's called Traveler's Box, which I guess is like Red Box or, you know, a variety of other boxes that are product names. So you are flying through the airport. You've got currency from 3 different countries because you've done your European swing, and you don't want to take it with you back to the U.S. in your Ziploc bags to maybe forget about and not find again because you have another trip coming up in a year. So what do?
You drop it in a box.
And you drop it in the traveler's box.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool. They actually have a picture of it. It's not just Bitcoin, right? I mean, you can drop it into your PayPal, create an iTunes card, et cetera, or donate it. Many people you see at the airport where they drop their change when they're coming through international customs for donations to local charities or whatever. So,
yeah, so I think this is actually really clever. This has been available in the form of, if I remember the name right, Coinstar at local supermarkets in the U.S. for quite some time. But if you are able to do the recognition on bills and on coins from multiple different countries, why not translate those into the currency of your choice and then be on your merry way and pay a small fee to pay for the service? This is a great idea.
Yeah, and another interesting idea, just again to follow up on our Bitcoin, I know I saw an article earlier this week, and I thought I sent it out, about an app being pulled from the iTunes store for mining Bitcoins in the background.
So I guess you did call that one correctly. Now, did you read whether or not the app itself said it was doing that, or was that a behind-the-scenes thing that was discovered?
I believe it was the latter, and that's what I would expect. I mean, Apple on their app store is pretty, what's the right word, militant about ensuring that your app does what it says it does and only what it says it does and doesn't do other things in the background, whether that's, you know, we talked about this, gosh, years ago, the one kid who wrote the flashlight app, right? That when you tap the screen a certain way, it would turn purple and then automatically bypass all the tethering rules and allow you to tether your iPhone. So,
yes.
Interesting continuation of Bitcoin. One, the good, donate your currency or turn it into Bitcoins at the airport. The bad, mine Bitcoins in the background on an app without telling anybody about it. What's the ugly this week about Bitcoin? I know the really good is at one point it was over $900 per coin this week.
I didn't realize it was that high. I think I'd heard 6 or 7, but that's pretty incredible because the appreciation is stratospheric. So I guess the ugly of the 3 would then be that the app is out of the app store.
Yeah. You know, it happens. So again, the secret here is
you got to be up front.
You got to be up front. I mean, as we talked about last week, I would probably, if I knew that the app developer said, hey, I'm monetizing my app via Bitcoin. When you play, as we talked about last week, and you get your dopamine drip playing my game, I get a little bit back by my mining some Bitcoins. And I know that the app is not mining in the background and burning my battery down and all those other good things. Then, it's I think it's perfectly fine and okay. But if you start trying to create a Bitcoin bot network by putting it out on apps without telling anybody, that's a big no-no.
So, now comes another wacky thought in how this all works.
A whack-a-whack.
So I am not a Candy Crush player.
Not at all.
Are you?
Nope. Haven't even loaded it on any machine.
Never loaded it once either.
If I see any requests, I immediately spam them.
So the way I understand this to work, and as a non-player, forgive me for being a noob, I'm not even a noob. I'm a pre-noob, right? I just don't even know from any experience.
You're just
a nuh. So the way I understand it to work is that Candy Crush allows you to play a certain amount of time or certain lives or whatever. And then when you've run out of them, you either need to wait for it to recharge some number of hours, right? A lot of games do this. Yep. Or if you don't want to deal with the factor of waiting, you can always pay, right? Now, one of the ways that you can pay is you can go and use
spam your
social
friends.
Network. And spam your friends and say, hey, come on and play this cool game. And if they sign up, then your friend gets some bonus and you get some bonus and you're all happy until the next dopamine drip run wears off. And then you're back to where you started before. So here's the weird thought. What if you've got a game that is doing Bitcoin mining in the background? It does say that it's doing that in the background, and that's the way it's monetizing the game. And it offers you the opportunity to solicit your friends to come play too. And not only does it do that, it will reward you with a fractional share of your friends and their friends and their friends' 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 Bitcoin mining profits.
A pyramid scheme of Bitcoin mining.
It's just one of these things, right? You know,
well, wouldn't that fall under the guise of legalized gambling at that point?
I don't know. I have no idea. You're not betting anything.
Well,
are you betting
that you're going to actually be able to find a Bitcoin? There's no guarantee you can mine for years and never find a Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, well, that's possible, and I think you described your experiences in this regard.
Yep.
On the flip side, there's a lot of games right now that if you put in some money, you're gambling on what reward you're going to get from the game in in-game currency or in-game objects or whatever. Is that not gambling too?
Yes. I didn't say it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but I don't think that's treated as gambling per se. I don't know if this would be either, but it's just an interesting concept that the reward structure could be monetized, and it's essential. Well, it's not free, right? I think you said this before, and the Steve Gibson piece kind of hit the same point, is that the amount of energy that it takes to actually find a Bitcoin is more than the Bitcoin itself is worth.
At least that was the case.
But at least at $900?
$900, I think you could pay your electric bill.
You might. At least for a few hours.
Yep.
So, so interesting thought. All right. So the other thing that we saw that was kind of interesting too was on this Pando Daily website. There's a fun article about a game called Hipster CEO.
Yes.
And it's kind of irreverent in its structure, which attracted me right at the beginning, where the tagline is "Build a killer startup" or whatever.
Whatever.
and the gameplay seems to be very much like this. That if you want to take a crack at building a startup, you have to first, you know, pick the kind of startup that you want to be. You know, do you want to be some sort of picture taking thing, or do you want to be some sort of internet communications thing, or you know, some sort of dating thing or whatever. And then you get to figure out, you know, who your market ought to be. And the names that they have for all these are great. You know, beer enthusiasts. That should be, you know, like beer nerds, right? You know, beer nerds and tech geeks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you get to assign limited resources to various tasks and activities and plant and equipment. So you got to set up your environment. You know, you start off in your dorm room or your garage or whatever, and then you have to hire people. And the screenshots on this look really fun. You know,
yeah. I'm wondering how big the beer budget is, right? You know, because if you got the startup, you've got to have the kegerator in the office, right?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
I'm sure that
even if it's a
it's a productivity improvement device for a short period of time, and then it's a dude device.
Yeah. So I mean, I love the notifications too. So one of the notifications I saw on the article here is office is full. Your office is full. Either get a new office or get rid of someone, champ. And your response is fine.
Fine.
Fine. You know, it's not okay. It's fine.
Fine. So
you got to move out of your dorm room. You got to get a bigger office. You got to, you know, hire more people. And
assign some work.
Yeah, got to assign work. And there's the dashboard, I think, is actually pretty clean, you know, and pretty interesting. So linking this back to
the iOS 7 look and feel.
But no, it's not just that. And yeah, okay, you could say, yeah, it's iOS 7, it's flat. It's, you know, flat. There's no leather. But
well, you got to get some leather.
Well, if you're going to have, you know, a CEO kind of structure, you'd probably need some leather in there somewhere. But it's interesting the sort of things that it's measuring. So you could imagine the same sort of dashboard potentially being interesting from a work perspective too. So, you know, you've got your tech department or your marketing department, you know, you drill into those, you know, how's the marketing campaigns moving? You know, are you getting the desired result? What's your daily burn rate? How many days, based on the money you have in the bank and the investments that have been made in you, do you have to continue to work before you're out and your startup is over?
And by the way, we're about to add our co-host Phaedra into the show, who is online now. So we're going to bring her in the show live. Phaedra is on the show live.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Phaedra.
Hey, how are you all today? Oh. This fine Friday morning.
This fine Friday morning is fine.
Fine. Are we all fully caffeinated?
Not caffeinated enough, but we do have a little bit.
Well, you did make it to the bean today. I did see that.
I did make it to the bean today. But Phaedra, just to catch you up very quickly, because we've only got about 10 minutes left in the show, we are talking about the coolest virtual startup game ever. Well,
get out. Let's hear it.
We don't know if we are, but it is an interesting link that we saw today.
I'm buying the game. That's all there is. Buying it.
Fun. I think the coolest thing about this game is that the makers of it are charging a boatload of money for this type of game. And a boatload of money. It's like $2.99. So their startup idea is to create a game to create a virtual startup and to charge you $3 to buy it. I wonder if there are in-app purchases. You know, spend an extra $4.99 and you'll get a venture funder to drop in extra money for you.
Yeah, but why not? Why wouldn't you? I mean, all these games kind of do this sort of thing. Maybe there's another. You know, we're talking, Phaedra, a little bit about Candy Crush. Have you played Candy Crush before?
Yes.
Oh, no. We were going to say, please say no. Please say no.
So what level have you managed to get to before you said, I'm done?
Oh, I just played it for a little bit. Like, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes, and then I had to drop.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
That's reasonable.
So you're, You haven't been, you know, caught in the vortex, so to speak.
I haven't, although I'm surrounded by people who are caught in the vortex.
So let me ask you this. So since you are our expert on the show when it comes to Candy Crush.
Absolutely.
The expert, yes. Hey,
you played. We haven't.
You played it. So when you played it, did it immediately require you to sign into Facebook to play it?
Yes.
Okay, so it's game over at that point.
Why? What happened?
No. So I could understand if they, you know, slowly try to bring you into Facebook so that you spam all your friends, right? But if they require that just to start the game, not only.
But yeah, but you can turn off.
No. Not only are you playing the game, but they also now have access to your entire network. As soon as you did that initial login, you can say,
I don't want this to spam anybody. I mean, you can say that, right?
Yeah, but it still has access to the API to get access to your network. So they've monetized you as soon as you logged into the game.
Ka-ching. Ah, well.
Which is okay, but, you know?
But the point that we were on just prior to your joining is that with Candy Crush, apparently, you know, because we're not the experts you are, you have the ability to extend your gameplay by approaching your friends and saying, hey, this is a great fun game. Please join me. And by doing so, you get in-game currency, lives, something that allows you to continue to play without having the cooldown period that the game enforces. And I've played a few games that have that sort of thing, you know, right. where you have that option and you can say, well, I can bug my friends. And if I do, then I can play longer, which, you know, arguably I'm enjoying it. So they would enjoy it. So therefore, I'm going to bug them and tell them to join.
Yes. Yes.
So they can get into the vortex, too.
Yes,
that
exactly.
Giant sucking sound.
So we did a segue. You know, zoom over into this game that we stumbled upon this afternoon, morning, whatever it is, wherever you
whenever
are,
you
whenever
are
you're listening to this, that is called Hipster CEO. And that's the link from the Pano Daily that's in the chat log. And the way this particular game works is you are the CEO of a hip startup. You get to pick what kind of hip startup you're the CEO of. You start in your dorm room. You can hire people. You grow out of your dorm room office space, your garage, and further space pretty quickly. And the point that I was getting to, if you scroll down in the article, it's got a number of screenshots from the game. I'm buying it. This is too fun. I'm not doing it on the show because my network is wonky and I don't want to lose connectivity.
Hey.
But hey,
you get a hipster bonus of $500 for running your first marketing campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
How was that for a hip voice? Was that okay?
That was pretty hip.
Thank you.
So the objective of the game is to be acquired, right? You know, you want to get your startup so successful that it becomes something that gets acquired. And this doesn't look nearly as complex as any of the Sid Meier's games. But what I liked about it was the mobile dashboard of the snapshot of the business. You know, it's looking at key factors like employee satisfaction, engagement. It's looking at how your marketing department's moving, what your burn rate is on a day-to-day basis. How many days do you have to live as an entity if you continue this burn rate and don't bring in more money? Because a lot of startups are like really cool pets.com ideas that
burning through cash like crazy.
Might not bring in money, but have really cool sock puppets. So I like the idea from a game at work, you know, this gamified mobile interface, easy to use.
I think the point that you make, Michael, is actually more interesting is to take this interface and apply it to a real startup, right? I mean, having a very simple dashboard that shows sentiment analysis, revenue and revenue projections, burn rate, et cetera, as well as, you know, the ability to drill easily down into the various parts of the business is an awesome dashboard for a small business startup.
Exactly. So now we're cooking.
Something.
So this is where you click in the marketing and say, okay, if I'm going to be, you know, let's be U.S. centric for a moment. If I'm going to do marketing in the Southeast, right? you could show that on a map, and you show a marketing campaign that, you know, was whatever it is, right? If it's net marketing or print or radio or whatever for your hip startup, you know, maybe it's people riding around with bicycle messenger bags, and that's your marketing campaign. You could start to see that applied to maps. You could start to see the technology impact on your company, you know, what the age is of your infrastructure and hardware and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You could do all kinds of very cool stuff with this pretty easily.
Yep. Very, very, very cool.
I think this is neat. I wonder what the collaborative aspect is of this game. Like, is there a partnering capability? That would be interesting. Anyway, very cool.
Yeah, I like it.
I do what? Think it's cool. What? Yes, yes. So, well, Phaedra, have you been Bitcoin mining yet?
I have not.
Okay. just checking.
Not that you know of.
That's right. Not that you know of.
Not that I know of.
So before we get to our end of day today, because we're on a short schedule, Phaedra, are there any news items or anything you'd like to bring in for discussion here?
I am working on an alternate reality game, which I am super excited about. So I've been looking at a whole bunch of other companies and what they have done and what their best practices were and what kinds of things worked and didn't work. And I have a very small window to do it. So it takes a lot of orchestration, certainly. But it's been fun meeting different people who have done it and what they've learned. It's been interesting. Cisco has pulled it off a couple of times now. And, of course, Audi has done it. There's just been a number of organizations who seem to have gotten a decent return. The only challenge I've been getting is, you know, you try to dig into, okay, what were the results of your implementation of the alternate reality game? And there's a lot of hand waving, like, oh, this was a brilliant idea, and here's how much engagement we've got. But it would be nice if there was a little bit more depth with regards to, you know, what people found for business results.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds really cool. And I know, you know, these types of alternate reality games have been seeming to be more and more popular lately.
Yeah, well, some of them were
big marketing ones. Like the Audi one I think you're talking about is the one of the stolen car, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up at all, but now that you have, it is so cool, isn't it?
It is. It is very cool.
And it's really amazing. If you had this virtual CEO app, you could see your burn rate. Uh-huh. For your billions of dollars.
Have you guys been to a conference that was running an ARG?
Not me personally.
We actually, at the Innovate conference a couple of years back, did a combination of social interaction plus kind of like a clues-based alternate space game going on for developers to find information. It wasn't as complex as the car example from Audi, Michael and Vader, that you guys referenced. But it was a way to, you know, you would go to certain spots and there'd be a QR code and certain information would show up and you kind of track your way through the game. But not a true ARG.
Yeah,
the Audi one is called Art of the Heist. I think
Art of the Heist. Yes. And this week, the Gamification Summit folks pulled off a virtual event. So our friend Ross from Microsoft was on the show, and also Ryan from Delta was there discussing his internal serious game, which he developed. So I've invited him to come on the show. So hopefully we'll have him on in a couple weeks.
Awesome. And just a reminder for our listeners, next week is the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday, and we will not be doing a show next week, so there's going to be a one-week break coming up.
Aw.
Aw.
I know.
Aw.
You guys have Thanksgiving plans?
That's the plan.
Yes. We're going to the Marriott.
Oh, nice.
Actually, there's an NPR article or blog, I think that was soliciting some views of people, how they celebrate Thanksgiving when they're out of the U.S. And in our case here, the ovens are not nearly so large as to cook a turkey, assuming that you would find a whole turkey in the way that you'd want anyway, which is, you know, another interesting factor. So we're doing is we're going to the Marriott where we'll be celebrating and having a feast with our friends from the area in Budapest.
Very cool. Well, you know, there is a turkey shortage in the U.S. right now for ones 16 pounds and larger. And my memory of Thanksgiving growing up was all based in Germany, and we had great Thanksgivings over there because brought the whole family together, and it was foreign for half the family. And it was a really, really good time. And the best thing about Thanksgiving is after you've had your fill is you get a little thing of schnapps. And you pop that schnapps, and it clears the stomach for eating more.
Yes, that's the purpose.
No. Ah, schnapps. Mm. My plan is to mooch turkey dinner off my friends.
Excellent.
That's my big plan. I'll bring a pie.
Okay, well, we are out of time, and we want to thank everybody for your great links this week. Pretty fun stuff, and look forward to hearing from you. Take a week off. Drop us notes via our website at gamesatwork.biz. We're still working on the video version of the show, and we'll have more of that as we go forward. And other than that, anything else, Phaedra or Michael?
No, but everybody have a good Thanksgiving dinner. Have a good holiday.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz, or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.